welcome to the Friday postgame. I'm your host, Malcolm Flesher, and with me, it's not the usual three amigos, but it is three amigos.
We've had this combo before. It's worked.
Yes, we have.
It's worked like a dream, and even maybe some would say better than it does with Dave here. I would never say that publicly, but I do think it. Steve-O, Matt Atchity, we're recording, of course, on Thursday, as you know. So if something monumental happens on Thursday evening or Friday morning and we don't talk about it, now you know why. Also, if we look into the wrong camera, that will be because we have lost tally lights. For some reason, the tally lights are no longer working. And it's just like, you know, old-time TYT. Without tally lights, and everyone going like, where's my camera? So what I want to get to today, a couple of things. First is, as you see behind me, it's the—
I know.
Hollywood. What is it?
It's very close to my house, actually.
True. But it doesn't say Hollywood. It says—
I can barely read it, but it says Hollywood Land.
Hollywood Land. And that is because originally it did say Hollywood Land. Today, well, Friday the 13th, is the 95th anniversary of the dedication of the Hollywood Land sign in 1923. And I have some— You have a fun fact that you made up about it.
No, sure. The land part of the sign came down in a landslide.
And that's the reason why Stevie Nicks sang about it.
Yes, there we go.
But the news this week, it's in the news because Warner Brothers is floating an idea of a tramway to go up the backside of that mountain to get people to go up to the sign.
Because
the traffic is very bad on the south side of the mountain, and it's not really easy to get to. You have to drive up through a bunch of residential areas.
Yeah, and the people
hike
hate
up
it.
There, and people get really upset. So Warner Brothers is floating an idea of putting an aerial tramway that people would come into Burbank and ride up and be able to go around there.
Yes, and charge them a fee for it.
It is. I mean, they didn't put it up there with the idea that people are going to be tromping up to be there and get their photo taken in front of it.
No, and for a long time, you actually couldn't walk up there. They had it all blocked off, and you had to climb up a fence and go at night when no one would catch you.
Risky.
Or so I heard.
Yeah.
So I've never been up there. If they had a tram, I would have definitely done it, unless the lines are really long. But I'm so used to getting squeezed for every last tourist dollars whenever I travel. When I see someone not doing it, I get a little bit frustrated. Like, why aren't they squeezing money out of my pockets, right? So this is a—
You sure this
example.
Is free? Wait a minute.
Yeah, this is like an iconic place, and people are always trying to take pictures of it. But if there's a way, so they should do two things. One, charge you for the ride up, and then have some sort of like distant camera that takes a picture of you in front of the whole sign, and then charge you for that picture.
Well, I love that, to your point, Warner Brothers is pitching a way that they can make money off of something they don't own. They don't own the sign.
Yeah.
That's all public land and public property, but they'll make the money off the
tramway. Well, they should have to pay some sort of fee to the
city. Sure, they will.
Yeah.
No, I think the city, probably what will happen is the city will pay to pave it and to, you know, whatever infrastructure is needed for it, the public will pay for it.
It'll be like a stadium for a football team.
Yeah, exactly.
The city to pay.
Who has more pull? The folks at Warner Brothers or the rest of us? So I want to share a little bit of information about the Hollywood Land / Hollywood sign. So the last four letters were dropped after renovation in 1949. But the sign's original purpose was, do you guys know?
It was to advertise the housing development over there.
Yes. Right, a housing development called Hollywood Land. And what was interesting about that that development was that it was segregated, restricted housing. So the, you know,
this— Only for black people?
So this iconic, Hollywood sign that we're all so familiar with, also, you know, representing America, it really does represent America and traditional American values of restricting where black people can live.
I don't want those people living near me.
So exactly. I'm going to ask, was largely a rhetorical question, but has there ever been a moment in American history where we had some sort of segregated housing policy where the good side of the tracks were given to some racial minority? Has that ever happened? Like, even once, like as like a gesture?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is a good answer, but you got like Native American reservations where then they discover uranium or whatever, something
it's like,
valuable.
We shouldn't have given you
yeah.
that. We'll take that back.
Yeah. It turns out there are backsies when it comes to Native Americans and the federal government. Definite back. I don't know if that qualifies. It's not like it's, you know, we're giving you all the prime coastal beachfront
That's
property.
That's never happened, right? Like this is a nicer part of the neighborhood. We're going to segregate it for the benefit of this group that hadn't had that kind of access before.
No, not for the benefit. But actually, when I was here 2 weeks ago, one of the things we talked about was the Cuyahoga River catching fire. Mm-hmm. And the Cuyahoga River flows through Cleveland, and for much of its, since the industrialization of Ohio, or Cleveland anyway, it was just sludge and disgusting and smelled terrible. And property right along the river was the worst property, that was not valuable at all. But once they cleaned up the river, all of a sudden that was valuable property, and out went the poor people. It was quickly gentrified. So in a sense, maybe that brief period once the river cleaned up and then the rich people realized that it was advantageous to have a home on the water, then for that interregnum,
The gentrification is definitely similar to what you're talking about, right? And that, look, we've seen that, I think, in Culver City.
Yeah.
As it gets nicer and nicer and people come in and the property values go up and taxes, the property taxes get to a point where people can't stay where they'd lived forever.
Yeah, or renters.
Right.
Especially.
Renters, yeah. Well, screws the renters. The property taxes don't hurt the owners as much because—
Not in California, right?
Yeah, in California, they're not reassessed. So even if your value goes way up, you pay at the rate that you bought it at. So there's that.
Prop 13. Prop 13, which, maybe California schools are crap.
Everywhere else but California.
Yes. Yeah. So there is that. But Culver City, yeah. It's all million-dollar homes now. But originally, it was like a bedroom community for working people in the movie business. Your electricians and so on and so forth. But now they can't live in Culver City anymore. No. All right, so other facts about the Hollywood sign. The poles that supported the sign were hauled to the site by mules, which is sort of why you see in this image. There they are. This is 1923 in Los Angeles. There was still a lot of work done by mules. And the cost of the project was equivalent to $300,000 today, just for an advertisement for a housing development. And it was only supposed to last a year and a half. And another fun fact, during the early 1940s, Albert Kotha he was the caretaker of the sign, caused an accident that destroyed the letter H. He was driving drunk, and he drove off the cliff directly behind the H and into the H. He was not injured, but it did knock down the H. And then we have another image by the 1970s.
I'm amazed that he was that, I've walked up that road. If you've ever hiked up that road, I'm amazed he made it that far. Because that road is pretty twisty.
Maybe he was drinking on the way.
Maybe.
By the 1970s, and I think it's hard to imagine this nowadays, but the sign was in a serious state of disrepair, and this is what it looked like. It looked like, the O was, the first O was like a U, and then the third O was just destroyed. It looked like crap. And that was the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, there's some shots that they recreate what that looked like in the movie The Nice Guys, which is set in mid-70s L.A., and they do some pans over there, and it looks awful. And there's graffiti all over it.
It's it's hard to imagine.
For someone like me who came here from out of state, growing up as a little boy in New Jersey, I've always wanted to be in California. My dream was to move out to L.A. at some point. When I first came out here and I saw the Hollywood sign in person, it was like it was like a moment, right? It was a moment to take note, like, wow, there it is in real life, just like I saw in the movies. So I'm actually kind of happy
that they fixed it.
That they're gonna fix it. Well, definitely happy they fixed it. And I would love to go up there. Like, I should go up there. So I'm rooting for the tramp.
Okay.
All right. So Steve is committed, but not until Warner Brothers makes it easy and air conditioned, nice for you, and they squeeze a little money out of you.
I'll take a mule ride up there.
Sure.
That's fine. I'll do that.
That would be funny. Like they have the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
So 1978, in large part because of a public campaign to restore this landmark by Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy, the late Hugh Hefner, they replaced the sign with the more permanent structure. Nine donors gave $28,000 each. One of the donors, Alice Cooper, and he donated the money in memory of his close friend, comedian Groucho Marx. This is what you learn from Wikipedia. Huh. It's remarkable. Wow. Most people watching probably don't know who Alice Cooper or Groucho Marx are, but nevertheless, if you do, then you're going, huh?
That's a weird combo.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't know it, but.
Well, a lot of people don't know Groucho Marx, huge metalhead.
Sure, yeah. I don't know how old I was before I realized that Alice Cooper was not a woman. But also Stevie Nicks wasn't a man. It's, the 70s were a confusing time. There was, the Hollywood sign was in disrepair. It was trouble. All right, the one other piece of business I wanted to attend to is, as you may recall, if you watched last week, Steve gave me a super hard time about being on vacation and how it was this posh, bougie vacation. He was all in good fun. We like to, give each other a hard time a little bit, play a little bus nuts. But in light of that, I thought I would ask Steve, how is your exercise regimen coming along with your squats? The last time we talked, you said you were going to do squats every day.
So the day that we talked, I think that was my second day, mm-hmm. My goal, Matt, was to do 100 squats a day. So
all at once?
No, as many as you want, okay. At any given time, but in a day, 100 squats. So I did it for 2 days in a row and talked about it. I did it one more day. Then I haven't done it since. So yeah.
And I knew
I
that.
Three
I
already
you do like 200 in one day and then skip the next day?
Yeah.
No.
You owe like 5,000.
No, I did 100, 100, 100, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0.
You're pacing yourself.
Yeah. Right. So you're like 3,000 in the hole.
Yes.
Your average is dropping, your daily average. But the great thing I love is that you can still go on the air and be like, I'm gonna do this, I'm talking about it to demonstrate my commitment, and then you still like, eh. You still don't there's that pressure, but you don't feel that pressure. Like,
I feel a tiny bit of pressure to do the 100 squats right now, but I won't do it.
I feel a tiny bit of pressure to prevent you from doing that.
Yes.
But all right, so that's all the business. Anybody else have anything else you want to?
Let's get right to it.
No, I got $5 says you can't do 100 right now.
In a row? I think I can. Yeah.
Well, that'll be a future post game when Steve has to do it by himself. By the way, you did a great job last week. People were very pleased with it. You did excellent.
Thank you.
Don't stress. Yeah. I'm sorry to be dragging you like this, but that's what we do here. So let's move on to the main event, which is of course everyone's favorite game, Weekly World News. Weekly World News. Yeah. My microphone, so I apologize for that. So I didn't have a moment to revel in the joy of that. I'm under the impression that someone is creating a new intro for Weekly World News. Does anybody know anything about this? Well, I'll have to find out. Someone said that they were going to do that. I like to see him. No. It was someone who emailed me and said they were going to do it for free and it's going to be much better. And
can't wait.
I've yet to see. Good luck improving on that. But so the way Weekly World News works, if you haven't seen it before, is I call the Globe for news stories, international news stories that are typically not covered on the main show. Occasionally they are, but generally not. And then I put it into a quiz form for the panel to guess which are the real stories and which are the fake. Well, just specifically which are the real stories. And we do this geographically, and the first story comes to us from Yemen. So where's Yemen? Good question. It's somewhere we all should know where Yemen is because it's an important place in the globe. It's the poorest country in the Middle East probably, and also in the worst shape. But the question is this, gentlemen. Here is your question about Yemen. In a recent meeting with officials from the United Arab Emirates, Yemeni Interior Minister Ahmed Al-Maisari demanded that the UAE ministers do what? Was it A? That's not the right graphic. The great graphic has all the answers. The next graphic should have all the answers. Do we not have all the answers? Do we not have a graphic with all the answers? Edwin, do we have a graphic with all the answers on it? This is unacceptable. This is a tragedy with epic proportions.
I'm guessing A.
It's super annoying because I actually knew it was A.
Well, I'll just read it. Yeah. Anyway, if we don't have it, I'm not getting any response. Edwin, anybody saying anything? Okay, so here's the question. We don't have all the answers. Well, that's unfortunate. Well, here are the answers that we would have had. A, shut down UAE-run prisons in Yemen. It turns out we do have it. You guys are just pranking me. Shut down UAE-run prisons in Yemen where detainees have reportedly been tortured. B, lift the naval blockade of the cities of Taiz, Sada'a, and don't need the music yet, Bart. Hang on. All right.
We are out of sorts.
This is why we have rehearsals, folks. Wait, hey, come back. No, hey, oh.
We'll do it live.
Lift the naval blockade of the cities for a few. C, immediately cease its use of cluster bombs against civilian targets in Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. Or D, kiss his ass. And you gentlemen have an answer for us? We're going to start you off strong, I think. And we're going to stop the music quickly. So we have an A from Steve, and answer from Matt is also A. What is the correct answer? There it is. Shut down UAE-run prisons in Yemen where detainees have reportedly been tortured. This is actually not a fun story at all. It's a horrible story.
It's not a fun story. I actually know the story. They've been rounding up people that are suspected of being members of Al-Qaeda or ISIS, or so they claim.
Right.
Or they're just opposed to the government that the Saudis have installed. Mm-hmm. And they just basically torture them and beat the crap out of them, intimidate them. Horrible, horrible stuff. And, you know, if their loved ones try to find them, they're met with intimidation.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really bad situation. We did similar things, you know, in black type prisons around the world. And here we go.
Yeah, we don't have really, but we've sworn off torture, and we're never going to do that again. And that's why we approved for CIA head Gina Haspel.
Right. By the way, it's not like we're going to seriously do something to the Saudis either, right? Let's be clear.
They can do 9/11 and we won't touch them, right?
Right.
So one of the reasons why we shouldn't torture, why we shouldn't execute people is because we often have the wrong people. So in the story that I read.
Morality aside.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, putting the morality aside, the efficacy, you know, doesn't exist either. And then we have these terrible problems where we torture the wrong people. And guess what? They get very angry. And their loved ones get very angry. So in one of the articles that I read about this story, they let some guy go and like, sorry, we had the wrong guy. And the guy's like, you just tortured me for 2 weeks, sticking things up my rectum, beating me.
Sexual torture is part of it, yeah.
And all he does is sorry? Like, oh my, it's not even
I mean, realistically, he's lucky they don't just keep, I mean, that they let him go at all.
Yeah,
right. They didn't have to.
Also, it doesn't work because who is it that said, you could give me Dick Cheney and I could waterboard him and I have him confessing to the Kennedy assassinations. Like,
well,
you can get anyone to admit to anything.
That's right.
The question is, what is the purpose of torture? Is it to get a confession out of somebody where you're trying to get a confession? Is it to actually extract actionable intelligence? No, it's terrible for that. Is the purpose, like with Chelsea Manning, for example, you torture Chelsea Manning and that sends a message to other future potential whistleblowers.
That's right.
This is what's gonna happen to you. That's the real purpose of torture, and it is very effective. Yeah. So that's, and you know, if you're thinking of joining Al-Qaeda or even just, I mean, the situation in Yemen is such a cluster F that it's not even really reasonable to talk about that sort of thing.
You can swear.
Yeah, I know.
On the show, you can say clusterfuck.
But I'll give you a few of the contours. What's interesting about this is that this is the Yemeni interior minister, and this is the Yemeni government that the UAE and Saudi Arabia are ostensibly supporting. Basically, the Yemen government was overthrown by the Houthi rebels who were supported by Iran, and then Saudi Arabia and the UAE came back and have retaken a significant amount of the country. But the Yemen government does not exist for all intents and purposes. It's the Saudi Arabia working through in the UAE, their forces who are really in control. So this is the Yemeni minister who's, and I think we have a picture of him at this meeting. He's saying, look, you have to close these prisons you have established in our country. This is our country, you're foreigners, you came in, you built these prisons or have these, you know, ersatz prisons, and you're torturing people in them, and we want you to stop. But the Yemen government only exists at the behest of UAE, so that there's pushback means it must really be horrible. But there's also the Amnesty International is demanding to be for an investigation. We have a text graphic I can show you. Please, it begins. An investigation by the Associated Press earlier in June found that hundreds of Yemeni men were swept up into a network of prisons under the suspicion of being Al-Qaeda or ISIL fighters. The news agency said the prisoners were being held without charges or trial. Next one, please. According to the AP report, Yemeni guards working under the direction of Emirati officers used various methods of sexual torture and humiliation. The guards allegedly raped the detainees while others filmed the assault and electrocuted prisoners' genitals or hung rocks from their testicles. I saw a different story about this where some of the prisoners had spirited out drawings and pictures of what had been done to them. And it's really super disconcerting because they look basically like a child's drawings. But what they're depicting is the kind of thing that no child would ever think to depict. It's genuinely horrible. Shockingly, the UAE State Minister for Foreign Affairs has dismissed these allegations as, you guessed it, fake news. And so the Yemen civil war continues and the devastation that is going on in that country, and we could stop it if we wanted to, but we don't really care to. We, you know, it's the geopolitical reasons for that war continuing are more important than keeping people from being sexually tortured and horrors being visited upon them that no one should ever have to suffer. So that's the US government and our allies in Saudi Arabia and UAE. Isn't this fun? It's a fun nice. Game, right? Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story. Let's get going. Where are we going next? That's right, we're going to Brazil. And the question, let's try not to bring the answer up before we give the contestants a chance to answer. What's the question, though? After a judge's recent orders to release former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva from prison were overruled three separate times, many Brazilians on social media compared the situation to what? Was it A, penalty kicks in a World Cup soccer match, B, being dangled over a shark feeding frenzy, C, the shocking finale on the most recent season of Big Brother Brazil, or D, Lionel Richie's hit song, Three Times a Lady? Now the music, there it is. Now, see, we're back in the swing of things. And you guys both have one answer correct. Oh, I didn't even say who you were playing for.
Yeah.
We'll have to get back. Well, after that we do this answer, we'll go back to that. I'm sorry. We're all messed up. All right, do we have answers? We have answers? We have a C from Matt and an A from Steve. What is the correct? You bring up all the answers, and then the correct answer is A, yes. Penalty kicks in a World Cup soccer match. Steve, 2 for 2. Amazing.
I just went with it because the World Cup, you know, it's relevant. Cup.
It's going on, it's relevant, it's true. You know, it was plausible. The other answers are plausible. That's the point. So Lula is the hyper-popular former president of Brazil who is serving a 12-year prison sentence that some say was, you know, is not based on trumped-up charges. And there are competing judicial bodies that over the weekend, this one judge tried to release him three times and was overruled by a different judge three times. And it's what's shocking is that if he is released, he will probably be the next president of Brazil again. But if he's not, he's going to serve 12 years in prison. We've covered this story before, and it's pretty shocking. Let's give me the first text. On Sunday, Rogério Favreto, a judge covering the weekend at an appellate court in Porto Alegre, southern Brazil, ordered that Lula be freed three times following a legal move by three lawmakers from Lula's leftist Workers' Party, who argued that his pre-candidature for October's presidential elections merited his release. But each time Favreto was overruled, as bewildered Brazilians on social media compared the legal drama to a World Cup penalty shootout. So, I mean, I'm not going to go into the intricacies of the Brazilian legal system and, you know, who was having him released and who was overruling him, partially because it's complicated, partially because I don't really understand it, I got to be honest. So,
go into the intricacies of how penalty kicks work in a World Cup match.
Well, see, that's a separate issue, and I really do object to penalty kicks.
I love penalty kicks.
I hate penalty kicks. I have a better solution, but we don't need to get to that now. We'll talk about that. We have time at the end. All right, we got one more text graphic on this story I wanted to share with you, which says the following. But the Supreme Court could change its ruling that those convicted by an appellate court serve jail time rather than remaining free while lengthy appeals unwind when it returns from recess in August, he said, or decide his sentence was unlawful. That could mean Lula's release. So, you know, it's confusing, but the point is, it's still up in the air whether Lula is going to be released and become Brazil's next president. He's wildly popular. There's some his supporters outside where he's being held who are demanding his release. So it's a question. That's democracy at work, is people out in the streets demanding something, and we'll see if they get their wish and Lula is freed. I think he should be, and I feel that the charges are bullshit. There, I swore. Bogus. They're totally bogus. So we're 2-1. Matt's gonna come back to, I gotta say who we're playing for.
Yeah.
We have a graphic of who we're playing for. If you could find that, Jacori. It's the first graphic I sent, or it's the first one. It just lists the names of the people who we're playing for, if you have it. There it is. Matt is playing for 1 of 19, who he spoke favorably of your previous post game. And Steve is playing for Robert Penzias. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
The other 18 are not impressed with me, but 1 of 19 is.
There are only 19 people who watch. That's the whole thing here, is it? And we suspect that there are only 19.
I feel like Robert Penzias' name should be Roberto Penzias, no?
See, I thought 1 of 19, like, what are you, one of the Duggar kids?
Oh,
wait.
I don't think we have any Duggar kids who are fans. Maybe if you win him a t-shirt. So whoever wins, You get a t-shirt.
Nice.
And maybe if maybe that would be part
this
of the negotiation.
For Robert. Yeah.
You don't actually get a t-shirt, as we pointed out before. You have the you get the opportunity to petition for a t-shirt, and we'll see if we send you one. That's the way Dave Kohler wanted me to, you know, to the disclaimer. Just like Lula, you can petition for your release, whether you get it or not. All right, so the next story comes to us from Iran. Iran, and what is the question? That is what everyone wants to know. It is as follows. Teenager Mehda Hojabri was recently arrested by Iranian authorities for doing what? Is it A, posing as a boy to get into Tehran's Azadi Stadium to watch a soccer match? B, holding hands with a female classmate while walking home from school? C, posting videos of herself dancing on Instagram? Or D, describing Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei as a total lame-o? I'm not gonna. I was tempted to say a little, provide a little background information on this, but I will not. We have two answers of C. What is the correct answer, Jacory? It is C. Did you know, or were you guessing?
No, that was just an educated guess. They don't like dancing there, so.
Well, the first answer.
I caught that story. Yeah, I had seen that story earlier in the week.
Oh, that was.
See, that's. I consider that cheating. I consider
he knew the one
for the first one, but you got credit for that one too.
Oh, okay. Well, you got credit for this one.
No, I like the idea that like studying, you know, what's going on in the world is cheating.
We want you to stay as ignorant as possible and just guess wildly. Okay, don't educate yourself.
I can't help it if stories about the web pop up on my feeds. Sorry.
The better you do, the worse I feel about myself.
Okay.
All right, so let's.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly, to make me feel better. So, what is the story? Here. So it's a young woman whose name is Mehdi Hojabri, and Iran has arrested a number of people recently over videos posted on Instagram, which is one of the few social media outlets that is that's allowed in Iran. Her account, which has been suspended, was reported to have more than 600,000 followers, and we have a text graphic and bring it up. Hojabri has since appeared on a state television program with other detainees in which she and others made what activists say were forced confessions, a tactic often used by Iranian authorities. State TV showed a young woman, her face blurred, crying and shaking while describing her motivation for producing the videos. Let's go to before we go to the next text round, let's go to the video. Bring the video up of her dancing to see what got her arrested. I believe we have that. I hope we have it. There she is. Thank you, Edwin. So,
the dancing is so good, it should be a crime. Right? That's an obvious joke.
It's good. She's a good dancer. She's very compelling. I was tempted to give you the whole, like, hour or minute of video, but I only did about 40 seconds of it. But. She's good, though, right?
She's a great dancer. And you know what's really sad about all of this is that, you know, obviously they're punishing any form of self-expression, and they're also, you know, demonizing sexuality.
Female sexuality,
female
especially.
Female sexuality, yes. And, God, it just makes society so much worse when you do that. You
it's
know?
Worse I mean, for everybody. It's
everybody.
Worse for, obviously, yeah. It's worse for women like yeah. her who get arrested,
yeah.
but the men who are in this sexually repressed society where you can't have sex until you get married, and
yeah.
they are repressed and they wind up, you know, joining Al Qaeda or whatever. I mean, I look at those guys and, you know, flew those airplanes. Nobody who's getting laid flies airplanes into buildings. That's my theory about.
That's mostly true, I think. But of course, there are exceptions to every rule. But the reason why
nobody who's having a healthy sex life.
Yes,
right.
But the reason why I knew this answer was correct was, didn't they have this issue before? People were dancing to Pharrell's. Happy? Bunch of them got arrested?
Are you reading my stories ahead of time?
No.
Yes, that is correct. In 2014, a group of Pharrell Williams
fans
arrested for filming themselves dancing to the song Happy on the rooftops of Tehran, received suspended sentences of imprisonment and lashes.
Lashes.
And also, funny story about Pharrell is Wiz Khalifa, I think, was on the old Current show, interviewed by Cenk, and he said, oh, and I see you've worked with Pharrell.
You know, okay, so Cenk mispronounced his name so badly. He's the opposite of you.
Yeah.
Marco is an excellent pronouncer.
Ironically, with a name like Cenk Uygur,
yeah.
he's really bad at pronouncing
okay, so,
anyone else's
so
name.
With Cenk and Anna, both of them did a whole segment once about Japanese Prime Minister Abe.
Abe.
I was like, come on.
Honest
Come
Abe.
On, Abe.
Honest Abe. Right?
I was like, really, Abe? You're calling Shinzo Abe?
That's pretty good. That's terrible.
Did you ever not go to a Japanese restaurant in LA? They never call it Abe, right?
And we never heard anybody else pronounce the name, obviously. But yeah, that's I think Anna is more forgivable for that than Cenk. Probably a number of years ago. But all right, so I would bring up the next topic, please, Jacori. Thank you. Finish out the story. Little is known about Hojabri's personal life or which city in Iran she is from, but since her arrest, her videos have been shared by hundreds of people, giving her a reach beyond her account. They appear to have often been taken using a camera in her bedroom while she danced to Western pop and rap music without wearing a hijab, which is required in public. So I know we all support the Iran deal and we don't think that Donald Trump should have pulled this out, but let's not pretend that Iran is anything but a hyper-repressive society. And just because they're a state enemy doesn't mean they're good guys. They're bad guys and do horrible things like this. So we hope that she is freed soon, that all the attention it's getting will bring pressure to bear, and that the Iranians need to wake up and say, this is modernity, it's coming whether you want it or not, and you got to get with the times.
Did they try a couple years ago?
Well, they used to have it crushed. They used to have it years ago. I mean, decades ago.
Right, under Mossadegh, like, before.
They went totally backwards because of the repressive government. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know who put that repressive government in charge.
Well, no, we didn't.
Well, we actually didn't.
No,
we set it up.
So we overthrew. Right. There was a repressive government in charge. They weren't repressing this type of stuff. They were, the Shah was repressive. At state police. They weren't coming after people dancing on Instagram. I don't think the Shah went after anybody on Instagram. But in 1979, the reaction to that.
Well, the Shah was on Instagram. He had a huge following on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, Persians, they love Instagram. Yeah. But we are definitely responsible ultimately, for what has happened in Iran.
That's what I meant.
It's a shit show and it's our fault. All right, so let's move on. We got a couple more before we got to get out of here. And the next story comes to us, Jacori, I appreciate you keeping up, from Nigeria. All right,
I'm 3 for 3 so far, just for the record.
3-2, Steve is winning. That's like better than you've ever done before, I think. All right, so what's the question from Nigeria? Nigerian law student Amasa Firdaus recently made headlines after doing what? A, becoming the first to earn a perfect score on Nigeria's equivalent to the bar exam. B, wearing a hijab at her graduation ceremony. C, negotiating the release of 7 girls who had been abducted by Boko Haram. Or D, revealing that she is the secret leader of the Niger Delta Avengers. Niger Delta Avengers, that's for the Proud 19. They know what that's all about. She is not. She is never the correct answer, but you know that. And what are our guesses? We have a guess of B from Matt and A from Steve. This is the tension mounts. I'm white knuckling it here. The correct answer is B, wearing a hijab at her graduation ceremony. We're all tied, but bear in mind, if it's a tie, both the members win. So it's not.
I thought it was B. I really did. I think I might have read a story about this or a headline. Yeah.
It's not a huge story, admittedly. So this was ostensibly a violation of whatever the dress code at the university, the Lauren University. A graduation ceremony. We have an image of the young woman. Ms. Firdaus. There she is, graduating. And mainly the reason I want to do this story.
The wig.
Oh my God, I totally thought that was Samuel Jackson.
It is.
I am the worst.
Yes.
They're totally alike.
Yeah, people can look like each other. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. And it's, it's contemporary too. It's not like he looks like the Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction that would be obviously not. But anyway, so she graduated, she wore the hijab, but she also wore the wig, which it's so preposterous, the wig. And it's also, you can't be like, well, you can't judge their culture, because it's not their fucking culture.
You know what? I didn't know that was a wig. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's the wig. That's the British style.
It's a powdered wig. It's that ridiculous, stupid powdered wig that the British judges still wear.
I can't believe they still wear that. That is amazing.
Okay, but how much weirder is that our judges are still wearing these cassocks?
Yeah, they wear robes. Yeah, right, I know, that's ridiculous
too. That's
still
kind of weird.
Why can't they just come, in suits and dress? I mean, there's no reason not to. But the wig is another level beyond that.
Yeah.
Because it's of a time. It was, for whatever reason, powdered wigs came into vogue in 17 whatever, and then they went out of vogue. But this is just, it's frozen it's in weird. Time that they do this. And how silly is it? She's wearing a hijab. Listen, if they're gonna outlaw anything, it shouldn't be the goddamn hijab. It should be the stupid wig.
And we did
a story.
Question.
Let me. We weren't here for it. We did a story on Weekly World News about the Anglophones in Cameroon, who are there are these English speaking people in Cameroon who are discriminated against, and there was this march of Anglophone lawyers. And they're marching through the streets of Cameroon wearing robes and powdered wigs. Africans. It's just silly. It does not
what
add
I
an
wonder
air.
About this young woman though, is, did she consider, like, how long did she think, which goes under which? Does the hijab go under the wig, or does the wig go under the hijab?
Listen, anything goes under the wig, because powdered wigs are super uncomfortable.
Okay.
And so if you can get something under that, maybe that's why she did it. She's like, they're gonna make me wear this stupid wig. I'm wearing my hijab. It's not. She's not even Muslim.
That's awesome.
Right, she's gonna start a trend.
All right, they're gonna kick us out soon. Right. So I want to get to the last one. The last story comes to us from, but the photo behind me, by the way, comes to us from a frequent TYT fan, Karen Henton, who she went to this is somewhere in Japan. She went there. This flower, they were in bloom, and people in Japan go out to see these fields, these flowers, and she sent us these photos. So beautiful. I appreciate it. And our next story comes to us from Japan. Karen is also from. She lives in Japan. There's Japan. And what's the question? This is the big one. What happened to Rabio, the psychic octopus that successfully predicted the outcomes of Japan's first three World Cup matches? A, he was adopted as a pet by J-pop superstar Ayumi Hamasaki. B, he escaped from his tank and disappeared. C, he was killed and eaten. Or D, he was killed and eaten by J-pop superstar Ayumi Hamasaki.
After he escaped from the tank.
Yeah. He escaped and was captured and killed. This is one of the big stories of the week. The fifth story is always but the tension, yeah, this is. We got an answer, one answer of A and one answer of C. What is the correct answer? He was killed and eaten.
And I lost after such a hot start.
That is a shame.
Right?
That's so terrible.
The tragic irony is that octopus hadn't predicted his fate.
Even if he did, there wasn't much he was going to be able to do about it. Once he got caught, he probably figured. But if he thought that choosing the games correctly was going to save him, he was mistaken. Yeah, so this octopus, he was caught by a fisherman named Kimio Abe.
Abe.
Last month off Hokkaido, and he decided, I'm going to assign it match predicting duties. And we have a little video of, let's show the video first. What the heck? It's very compelling.
勝ち、負け、引き分けの3つのゾーンに分けたどの箱に入るかで判定です。初戦の行方は。足がコンテナの方に入っています。
大丈夫ですか？
開始から55秒、ラビオ君は日本の初戦は勝利と占いました。
So that was him. So now we can bring up the text graphic. The octopus proved to be a spineless Jimmy the Greek, although Jimmy the Greek was spineless also, correctly choosing Japan to defeat Colombia, tie with Senegal, and lose to Poland. I'm glad that all the, come back. I gotta finish reading. Bring it back. I'm glad that all the forecasts turned out correct and Japan moved on to the knockout stage, Abe said.
Abe said.
He was honest about it. Next one, go ahead. Now you can bring up the next one. The Oracle Octopus didn't get a chance to prognosticate Japan's elimination game against Belgium, however. Abe sold it to market, meaning the octopus could be sashimi by now.
Oh, so, could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be sashimi, but it could be something else. He's got killed and eaten. Believe
me. I don't know if it was killed or eaten.
What's even more messed up about that story is the recent news in the last couple weeks that based on DNA and gene studies, there's a lot of scientists are thinking that it's pretty likely that octopus or the octopi that we know.
Cephalopods
may not be from Earth.
Oh.
Yeah. So we had this alien that can predict games and we're eating them.
Yeah. The other thing too is that octopus are extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Not so intelligent they didn't get eaten though.
Did you predict what Japan was gonna do in those games?
No, but nobody's eaten me. So who's the smart one now, huh?
If you watch any nature shows about octopus and they're super
octopi.
Smart.
Matt said nobody's eaten me.
If you can put a macaque on Uranus.
Matt, TMI.
I mean, at the moment.
Listen, you know, you get married, you get settled in your ways.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's not. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
We should probably.
Yeah, we should definitely probably wrap it up. But even watching that little footage of the octopus, look, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat octopus, and I mean,
but he looked delicious.
It's hard for me to think that you know these are intelligent creatures, and we're just you know he's swimming around that tank. He's like, whew, I'm back in the water. Great. I thought I was in trouble. I got caught. Yeah. And,
no,
and then it's like, no, let's cut him up and eat him.
I feel uncomfortable eating octopus. I do.
Understandably. All right. So, look, we don't have time for totally true or totally bullshit, unfortunately, because they're kicking us out. Do we have any time, Edwin, or we got to go? Okay, we got to go. So I'll save him for next time. I'm hoping I'm going to be back here next week. Is Dave going to be back? Do we know when Dave is coming back? Dave is gone. He doesn't tell me. He's just like, oh, no, I can't make it.
Somewhere fancy, like East Brunswick, New Jersey or something like that. Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Total bougie.
Not some slumming it like you in Northern Europe and me in Cape Cod. Yeah. Poor Matt is like, what are they talking about? Anyway, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate it. I hope you had a good time. We had a good time, even though these stories were pretty much uniformly awful. But I'm glad I could share them with you, and I hope you like Weekly World News. I hope you love the Friday post game. Let us know what you thought about all this stuff. But have a good weekend, and in the meantime, as always, stay strong.
Stay strong.